This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show for you. Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuentes is going to join us coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. He was in his first year last year taking over for a legendary head coach in Frank Beamer and led the Hokies all the way to the ACC title game, winning the Coastal Division. I loved the hiring of Fuente when he came out of Memphis for Vatek. I thought his demeanor was perfect for Blacksburg and for that program. He was deferential to Beamer, who came before him and what had been built. He's somewhat of a quiet guy, quiet leader, but damn, is he a good coach. And he's got that program arrow pointed up yet again. We'll talk to Justin Fuente, Virginia Tech head coach, coming up here in about 16 minutes from now at 20 past the hour. And oh, by the way, they open up with a good one against West Virginia at FedEx Field, a D.C. location, Landover, Maryland location, as this is a program that's going to play kind of a regional game against a regional rival. Also, the very funny Steve Hofstetter is going to join us against the backdrop of football season opening up, baseball season now down to the home stretch. He's a big sports fan. Hofstetter is going to join us in studio coming up an hour from now. Also, we've got the rankings of your baseball ballpark's food code violations. What could be better than that?
Puffiness with sodium.
So if you're worried about what you're eating at the old ballpark, don't worry. We got you covered.
Chubbo.
As always, you can hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. In the NFL draft last year, we talked so much, as we always do, about the quarterbacks. Who was the best quarterback? How was this quarterback class? Who should be taken first? Was there a slam dunk quarterback in there for the Cleveland Browns to take at number one? And through it all, I kept banging the drum on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, to me, was head and shoulders above Mitch Trubisky, above Patrick Mahomes, above any of the other quarterbacks that were going to be drafted early in that draft. To me, it was obvious that while Deshaun Watson may be a quote-unquote dual-threat guy, Deshaun Watson had the most of everything. Okay, maybe he didn't have the howitzer that Trubisky did. Maybe he didn't have the raw upside of Pat Mahomes. But what he had was an excellent arm, excellent legs, excellent field vision, excellent leadership, excellent poise, and excellent big game ability. I mean, Clemson fans will tell you, they saw it when he walked in as a true freshman and took the field and immediately had command, immediately made the Tigers' offense better. And this is coming off a couple of amazing years where Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins and C.J. Spiller were putting up some big offensive numbers, but Deshaun Watson looked different. I said, hands down, Deshaun Watson would be my guy. Hands down. Last night proved why. I'm not going to go crazy and put him in Canton. I'm not going to go crazy and say that Deshaun Watson is the new Dak Prescott and the Texans are suddenly going to go 13-3. What I am telling you is Deshaun Watson very obviously has an it factor, and it comes from two things. People talk about it factor as though it's some type of nebulous, invisible, impossible to define thing. No, an it factor is two parts. Number one, experience. Number two, confidence. When you combine both, and then you have the ability to back it up, you have the it factor. Experience and confidence. When don't you have the it factor? When you're inexperienced, or you're a little shaky in what you're supposed to do, you're not quite certain about what's going on. That's when you lack it. And then obviously you need to have the athletic ability, the gift to bring it out. He's got that. He had that. He had that in college. It was obvious. And last night he showed it again. And this is where you realize if Bill O'Brien botches this, then old butt chin needs to hit the road. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Watson in the gun. Gets the snap. Watson looking. Watson scrambling to the right. Watson running across the 10, the 5. Watson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texans. Deshaun Watson, 15-yard TD run. Welcome to the NFL.
Today was it was good just to get my feet wet. Not just me, but all the rookies. And just get out there and just, you know, experience my first NFL game. So it was fun.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans Radio. Rock and roll. And Deshaun Watson following the game. I'm not going to get caught up in the numbers, even though the numbers were very impressive for Deshaun Watson. He did not throw for a touchdown. He did run for a touchdown. As a rookie quarterback with very good wheels, you want him to avoid having to run. He slid on one play and nearly had his head taken off, and that could be the end of a season. So he's got to be careful about that, which is what coaches really worry about when it comes to athletic quarterbacks that have great wheels, is don't come out of the pocket too often because you could risk a major injury. But last night, Deshaun Watson just made it look easy. He wasn't skittish in the pocket. He wasn't going through a billion reads. He was seeing an open guy and hitting him. And that could have been for a 6-yard dump off like his first completion. Watson just was making the right plays and not looking nervous while doing it. Watson is a guy that graduated in 3 years. Watson is a guy that automatically has a leadership ability. Deshaun Watson, we remember his backstory where his family was given a Habitat for Humanity by Warrick Dunn. And Deshaun Watson made a pledge right there. I will do whatever it takes not only to succeed for my family, but also to give back the same way that this guy gave back to us. Watson's just got that thing. He's got it all. He's the total package. And I said it when it happened. I loved this pick by the Texans. Loved it. Now, I don't want to see him ruined. I don't want to see him thrown out there if he's not ready. But that's his first preseason game. And he goes out there and he just bing, bing, bings down the field. And when the pocket breaks down, has the lane and takes it in for a touchdown. He's going to make things happen. And the Texans have an elite defense. An elite defense. They have an elite wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. they have the pieces to be not only the best team of the AFC South. I've talked about this. They have the pieces to be a top three team of the AFC. However, Bill O'Brien needs to not mess this up. And Bill O'Brien, I think, has too much Belichick in him. And I say that by, I'm going to do it my way, huff and gruff. Don't ask me questions. You know, the vibe in Houston is very different than it was under Gary Kubiak. He is a guy that creates the Belichick paranoia. The media is the enemy. Don't allow anybody in. And that works when you're a freaking genius like Bill Belichick and you have a freaking brilliant Hall of Famer in Tom Brady. Then that works. I hope O'Brien does not mess this up. But Deshaun Watson has proven already the guy has the stuff. He's got the stuff. And I don't think they should automatically anoint him the savior because he didn't have to be in year one. He didn't have to be. They've got an elite defense. You don't want to ruin him early. But you can't tell me you could watch last night's game and not say, yep, I see it. I see it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I also think in terms of rookies, Christian McCaffrey's going to be excellent. He's going to be excellent, and I love this because I love breaking conventional wisdom. And people look at Christian McCaffrey as a white running back and go, well, he could be good in college, but not the NFL. And while McCaffrey didn't blow anybody's hair back last night, McCaffrey's going to be very, very good in this league. People compare him to Danny Woodhead because of his skin color. He's way better than Danny Woodhead. He's bigger, stronger, faster, more accomplished than Danny Woodhead. I'm bothered by this when all of the comps of a black quarterback have to be a black quarterback. You know, every young quarterback coming up has got to be either Donovan McNabb or Michael Vick or Warren Moon. They can't be Brett Favre. They can't be Drew Brees. They can't be Troy Aikman. They can't be Steve Young. You know, it's always color to color because that's what we see. Christian McCaffrey should not be judged as a white running back. Deshaun Watson should not be judged as a black quarterback. Those guys can just ball. Those guys got it. And they're going to be fantastic to watch this year. Fantastic. When we come back here on the show, let's do a little college football. Virginia Tech last year had the impossible role of trying to replace a legend. Frank Beamer built Va Tech football. Year one, under Justin Fuente, they go to the ACC title game and lose to Deshaun Watson and Clemson. They get Clemson at home in Blacksburg this year in about 6 weeks from now. How good is that game going to be? We'll talk to Fuente going into year two, expectations, where he feels he's at, where he feels the roster is at, and the ACC, which was earmarked as the best conference in football last year. That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings, Mothership.
Oh, okay.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. College football is just around the corner. And I'll tell you what, our next team is coming off a heck of a way to end their 2016 campaign. The Virginia Tech Hokies were down 24-0 at half of the Belk Bowl and came roaring back to beat Arkansas to end their season last year after going to the ACC championship game. And second-year head coach for the Hokies is Justin Fuente, and he joins us here on the show. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
You got it. My pleasure. Man, what a fantastic end to your season last year. What did that tell you about your troops to come back from that deficit in that bowl game?
Well, we had a really fun group to coach last year. I mean, they just had a lot of perseverance. They'd been through a lot in their time here, from coaching change to some seasons that started off with great promise that didn't end out quite the way they wanted them to. And you know, I was just And when I look back on it, I just think about that senior class and all that they'd been through. And I think it's fitting that the biggest comeback in the history of Virginia Tech football belongs to that senior class and that game, because that's what they were all about. That's what they were like on a daily basis. We weren't overly talented, but they were tough and gritty and found a way to get it done at the end.
It was also a big feather in the cap once again of the bowl season for your conference. Obviously, the national champions came out of the ACC. A lot of people say the ACC is the best conference in football right now. In your estimation, is it? And if so, what makes it the best?
Well, it was last year. I mean, I think, you know, each one of these things is individual. I mean, who knows what this season will bring. I think there's a couple things that set it apart during the year last year. I mean, there's obviously fine coaches and fine athletes in this league. Some schools have made definite commitments to football. But I think that one maybe overriding factor in terms of last year in our league was the quarterback play. I thought the quarterback play was fantastic. When you go down the list of names and guys that were playing that position week in and week out, I thought it was a really impressive group. And, you know, I think that's kind of what put the ACC over the top last year. Now the challenge is for us to keep it going. Many of those quarterbacks are no longer in the league, and we've lost plenty of good players at other positions too. And the challenge for us as a league is to continue to keep the ball rolling.
Justin Fuente, head coach, Vatech, joins us here on the show after an appearance in the ACC championship game. Hey, you get a rematch against Clemson. You get it at home this year at Lane Stadium, which is always one of the best places, best atmospheres in college football. I know you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but how fun could that game, that possible night game, that day be for you guys?
Well, obviously, Clemson is a great program. You know, they are where we're aspiring to be. They are where we have been previously in our past. We're trying to get back there. So anytime you get a chance to play top-quality opponents, you get excited and you get a chance to get them in your own stadium. We do have a fantastic game day experience here. Our fans show up to participate. They don't show up to be entertained. They show up to help us try and win the football game. And we have a lot of things to do before we get to that ball game. Will it be exciting? Yeah, sure. But do we have a lot? We have a lot of work to do throughout camp and through the first handful of games in the season leading up to that game.
What piece of work do you feel like you guys have to put the most energy into to have a successful season?
Well, I think creating depth. I think we can put out 22 pretty good players out there. It's going to be continuing to develop our young players. We're going to have some guys that have been in the program for a couple years that haven't played much. They're going to have to play, and they're going to have to play well. And, you know, they just haven't done it yet. We've got some proven players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to play several true freshmen on the offensive side of the ball, and they're going to have to play with an accountability level that is the same as a redshirt junior or senior, and that's tough to do, but you know, that's kind of our mission right now.
Justin Fuente joins us, head coach, Virginia Tech. That game against Clemson, Saturday, September the 30th at home. But you guys open up against a formidable foe. You guys got West Virginia, and this is cool. This is at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. So big NFL stadium, two regional teams. You guys get to play in the D.C. area. You guys fired up about that opening game?
We are excited. You know, we're renewing an old rivalry. The two teams haven't played in 12 years. It used to be a conference matchup. You know, obviously there's some proximity and location. We're in Southwest Virginia, and you know, it's been a long, long heated rivalry for many years. It's been dormant. We're looking forward to it. We've got a bunch of alumni that are in the D.C. area that I know are excited about the game and about coming out. We're kind of trying to bring the Hokies to them. So it should be a fun game. We have bookend rivalry games this year. We start with West Virginia, rekindling that rivalry, and then we finish up with Virginia.
You've actually put some nice compliments towards a couple of your young freshmen recently this week, and I wonder, are you excited about youth that can be a big part of the team? Because it can be a challenge when you're talking about inexperience, but youth and freshmen can also bring a certain type of energy. Does that excite you?
Well, I'm excited that we're recruiting good players that are in here competing for jobs. You know, if given the choice, I'd probably take a redshirt junior. they tend to make a few less mistakes, but that's part of that's part of the process. And we promise everybody an opportunity to play. We promise them a chance to go compete. And if the best guy is going to get out there and play. But we have recruited really well last year's class. Just looking at the kids that are here in the middle of camp have accounted for themselves really, really well. We're going to have major contributions from that class and the classes in the future.
So last year in your first year at the helm, I wonder, when did you feel like you had your stamp on the team? I'm sure that's an evolution that continues throughout your tenure, but was there a moment last year you said, okay, now it really does feel like my squad?
Well, I don't know if there was a single moment. You know, when I came in, I really felt like it was important that we paid tribute to the wonderful things that Frank had done in the past. I thought it was important that we pay homage to that and try and live up to those expectations. I mean, there was a time not too long ago when Virginia Tech was synonymous with 10-win seasons and ACC championships, and that's where we're destined to get back to be. But I felt like it was important that we did a good job painting that picture, but also challenging our guys to live up to those standards. And they did a really good job of it. I never really felt like it was my job to put my stamp on it. I thought it was important that our guys understood that some things would be different, and we needed them to buy into those things. It wasn't going to be that we were just going to show up and throw the ball a little bit more and everything was going to be fine. I mean, the way we trained in off season was going to change. The way we practiced was going to change. The way our summers were structured was going to change. And the kids jumped in with both feet. So, I haven't been in a hurry to stamp anything other than I've been in a hurry to make sure we do a great job building on our tradition.
Hey, before I let you go, I want to ask you about a former quarterback of yours, Paxton Lynch, because he's in a quarterback battle in Denver. Having coached him at Memphis, what type of abilities did you see that you think can help him at this next level? Because the Broncos do have high expectations for him coming into the year.
Incredibly gifted. As gifted a football player as I've ever been around. A great human being, a great kid. Will do whatever you ask him to do. He was underdeveloped coming out of high school. He went to a small private school in Florida, and he'd put on, I don't know how much weight he put on in his time at Memphis, but he put quite a bit of weight on, muscle. He began to get faster and really develop from a physical standpoint, and then learned the game. He's also a guy that came out a year early. So, I think teams that have some patience with him and continue to develop him are going to be really happy in the long run. I just think he's a diligent worker. He's going to do whatever they ask him to do on a daily basis, and his ceiling is really, really high. I just, you always worry when you send a quarterback off into the NFL because it can be a rough world. You just want to make sure they don't get rushed. They need to have urgency to improve and get better. But you just hope they don't get rushed out there. And he certainly didn't last year, and I'm sure the coaches in Denver feel like he's made improvements. How much, I'm not sure. But I just think he's got a really, really bright future if he stays to it.
Justin Fuente, head coach, second year at Virginia Tech, coming off a win in the Coastal Division last year to put them in the ACC championship game. Again, one of the favorites in the Coastal again this year. And they open up against West Virginia at FedEx Field, which is going to be very, very fun. And that's just in a couple of weeks. That's Labor Day weekend on Sunday, September the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Coach, it's always great when we get to visit with you. Thanks so much. Good luck this season.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Justin Fuente, head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies, joining us here on the DA Show. When we return, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. This is the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? How you doing? You ticklish today? Ooh, how you doing? Tickle, tickle, tickle. Oh, who's the Bubba's in the car?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can listen to us at iTunes, and it's free. Simply go to iTunes and search DA CBS. You'll get full episodes of the show, full hours of the show. You'll get full everything. Segment by segment, each one labeled specifically so you know exactly what you're looking for, what you're downloading. Check it out, The DA Show on iTunes. Good to have Justin Fuente drop on by from Virginia Tech. I like what he said about the dominance of the ACC. You know, a lot of coaches will always puff out their chest and talk about how great their conference is, and why not? That helps everybody. Rising tides raise all ships. Every coach in America has a tendency to bang on how great his conference is. In basketball, it's obvious why they do it. It's so that they get rewarded with potential at-large bids of the NCAA tournament. If they keep talking everybody about how great their conference is, then by virtue of that, their wins in league, their wins in conference mean more, and they'll get that bid. Also, in football, if you keep pumping up your conference, it means more bowl bids, which means more money for your conference, which means higher salaries for the coaches. And a reputation obviously helps in gaining recruits. We were the best conference in football last year. We're the best conference in football. The SEC hung its hat on that for a while. We thought last year the Big Ten was it because of Ohio State, because of Michigan, because of Wisconsin. When all was said and done and the dust settled, we saw Clemson as the national champs and how good Florida State season was, how good Louisville season was, how good Va-Tech season was, the bowl season. It was kind of indisputable that the ACC had the best conference in America last football season. I asked Fuente about that a couple of minutes ago, and he says, well, that was last year. We got to try to do it again. And I like hearing that because it would be so easy to say, yeah, we're great. I mean, Miami's on the come and all these young coaches. I think that Virginia made a great hire. I think Syracuse made a great hire. You know, Pitt feels very good about its coaching hire. You've got good young coaches or established coaches rising up. You've got the power teams at the top of the conference. So the ACC is in a good spot. I like, though, here to coach, not putting the cart before the horse and saying, look, that was last year. We've got to do it again if we want to make sure, you know, people are recognizing us as the elite conference in college football. Because let's face it, from a brand standpoint, from a reputation standpoint, from a legacy standpoint, the SEC is far superior to the ACC, and so is the Big Ten. But there's no doubt about it, the ACC should be, again, an elite college football conference. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's face it, though, there's going to be a couple of early games to give us a good indicator on that. We were talking about Virginia Tech against West Virginia. That should be good. Clemson early has Auburn coming to town, and Auburn could be a top three team of the SEC this year. Defending national champions, get Auburn coming in to Death Valley, not bad. Plus, you've got a big tilt early in week three. Miami travels to Tallahassee to take on Florida State, and those are the preseason favorites, FSU and Miami. They take on one another in week three. I believe it's their first conference game for both of them. That's a huge game. Let's get to your best audio of the day. Sound check time.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, Tim Kawakami from the Washington Post's podcast drops a bit of a bomb in terms of what the Golden State Warriors, who he covers in the Bay Area, might be thinking about next summer.
We think they're going to go after Paul George somehow. I think Joe Lacob's going to try to find a way to get Paul George. I don't know how that would happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen when they were 3 years ago when they said they were going to go after Durant. Well, they didn't have teased this for more than a year. We think they're going to go after Paul George somehow. I think Joe Lacob's going to try to find a way to get Paul George. I don't know how that would happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen when they were 3 years ago when they said they were going to go after Durant. Well, they didn't say it, but they might have whispered it.
So somebody is clearly IMing Tim Kawakami during that podcast. Bing, bing. Look, if the Golden State Warriors acquire Paul George next summer, all hell would break loose in the NBA. The NBA is already unhappy that Kevin Durant went there. Adam Silver last summer was discussing how that's not good for the NBA. They want to spread out the talent. If the greatest team in the league is coming off 3 championships in 4 years and nobody can touch him, and then they add Paul George next summer, NBA fans would just throw up their hands. That would be terrible for the league. I think it'd be very difficult. I don't know what type of money they'd have to move around. I don't know if Paul George would want to just join that team. Maybe he would. I mean, who knows? It's on the West Coast. He's a California guy. It worked out great for Kevin Durant. Maybe they'd have to then trade Klay Thompson. I'm not sure how that would work out. I don't know what it would mean for Draymond Green or whatever. But if they also added Paul George, I mean, what are you going to do if you're an NBA fan? You're just shaking your head going, why am I even watching this league anymore? The NBA does not want that at all. They'll try to make sure that does not happen, because that is goes against the very grain of what they said last summer and would make things even worse in terms of what people felt about competitive balance. But, I mean, look, the Warriors, if they can be creative and try to make the space, go for it. I just don't think the NBA would allow it to happen. It might have to be closed-door stuff. It might have to be David Stern negating that trade from the Hornets to the Lakers when it came to Chris Paul. I don't know what they would do, but the NBA would be irate if that happened. And yes, is it good to have a super team so that everybody can try to knock it off? Yeah. It's not good, though, if one team keeps collecting all of the stars. Danny Etling, LSU quarterback's got some pressure this year. I mean, LSU's quarterback in the last couple of years essentially got Les Miles fired. This audio courtesy of NOLA.com. So, which center does he like working with best? In other words, whose butt does he like to have his hands under?
I can just tell you what you look for in a center as far as that. So what you want is you want a nice, like, plump bottom.
Yeah.
Something to put your surface area to put your hands on.
Nice little warm.
So you want, yeah, so then you want them to feel you. You know, as much as I love Will and as great a football player as he is, he doesn't have the biggest bottom. And I think you guys would see that. But he is, him and I have really worked toward it. So I found a nice surface area to put my hands on. Lloyd and I are coming along. So Lloyd and I didn't get a ton of snaps together in the spring, but Lloyd and I are really coming along, especially in the past couple days.
So I like this. If you're a quarterback, you'd like a nice plump bottom, as he said. Mraz, what do you think constitutes the best rear end for an offensive lineman?
I would think you want a firm bottom, because you don't want your hand getting stuck there. Like, if the ball comes out and your hand, all it takes that little extra cushion and your hand doesn't react quickly to the ball, that's going to be a fumble. But if you have a firm bottom and it kind of just bounces right off, you're great, you're good to go, and you're going to get the snap right away. So I think you need a firm bottom to prevent fumbles.
But you need a big bottom, because at center, it's an offensive lineman. So a guy with skinny hips, a small bottom, is not going to help you out in terms of blocking.
Yeah, you need a gigantic round rumpus for sure, but the point is it's got to be a muscular rumpus. You know what I mean? We could go round and muscular, but that's the way it's got to be. It can't be round and flabby, and it can't be small and flabby. We need both round and firm.
We need a big, round, firm rumpus is what you're telling me.
Yes, round, firm rumpus, you'll be a perennial Pro Bowler.
Okay, what type of diet or what type of workouts do you need to do to get that type of big, round, wide, firm rumpus?
I would say you need to squat at least 3 times a week and lots of proteins. Now, I don't mind the starches in there if you're eating a lot of mashed potatoes, but you don't want the Kevin Booth mashed potato behind. You need a lot of chickens, maybe a little red meat, some fish in there, but a lot of
fish.
A lot of intake on any protein you could do, but good proteins, which will make you round and firm.
Is that the same in the flag football world?
Well, I got to be honest. I love our center, but he's got a real flabby rump, and we have to run a lot of shotgun because of that.
Yeah.
A nice, like, plump bottom.
Because the thing is, you don't know if, with the flabby rumpus, if the quarterback can get it out without some type of
fumble.
Friction.
Let's call it a miscommunication. Yes, that's what will awfully happen.
So you guys got to go shotgun because you've got a flabby rumpus
right.
Center.
Well, when you have one too many Oreo McFlurries, next thing you know, you're not firm, you're jiggling.
A nice, like, plump bottom.
Nice plump bottom. Yeah. And by the way, football-wise, if LSU gets a decent quarterback play out of Danny Etling, they're going to be really good. I have talked about this in the past. I am leery on how Ed Orgeron has given away so much influence to his coordinators. I think that that is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because if you have really smart coordinators, and I think that they do, then you're letting those guys do what they do best. And they can really micromanage their offense or their defense, and you can macromanage the locker room and time management, clock management, motivation, stuff like that, okay? The con is, in a situation like LSU, where they have had great defense and terrible passing game, great running game, terrible passing game, if that happens again, let's say Ettling has a poor season or he's having a poor stretch, Ed Orgeron is going to be asked all the questions about it, and he won't have any of the answers because he is not employed to fix the offense, and that's a huge problem. So what happens when Ettling throws four interceptions in the game and then Orgeron's at the podium and he goes, well, what happened? And Orgeron goes, well, I don't really know. I don't handle the offense. I don't have those answers. I mean, that doesn't work when you're a head coach. So there's a pro and there's a con to what is happening with the coaching staff at LSU. But Orgeron looks the part, talks the part, feels the part of the perfect, dyed-in-the-wool, central casting head coach at LSU. He's a raging Cajun. And finally, Deshaun Watson, impressive debut last night, albeit in a preseason opener, talking about how different the college versus the NFL game is.
This is professional football. This is the highest level of this sport. So, of course, it's going to be faster, a lot, you know, bigger guys, smarter guys. But at the same time, you know, I'm doing the same thing they're doing, watching film and trying to play fast also. So at the end of the day, it's still football. And you just got to go out there and operate and do your job.
Here's one of my favorite things that will happen this summer. It's already kind of happened already because a lot of rookies have reported to camp and gone through OTAs and what have you. But now they're getting into games. I want to play a drinking game with all of you. Have a flask with you at all times, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's not on the road, that's illegal. Well, probably at work and at school is illegal as well. But you know where I'm getting. When you're at home and it's legal and you have a beer in your hand or a flask, okay, when you're in your yard, every time a rookie is asked what's the biggest difference between college and the pros, and he goes, well, the speed of the game. The speed, it's just a lot faster at this level. Take a shot or pound a beer, and you'll be drunk in no time. It is the biggest cliche every offseason, every preseason for a rookie. So can you just describe like what the biggest difference is between college and the pro game? Well, it's got to be the speed. The speed of the game's a lot different. It's a lot faster of a game. Guys up here are very fast. The speed of the game is the biggest thing. But you'll get hammered in no time.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
That's your sound check. Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The body Bilotti is getting a real kick out of me saying that because he knows that I could potentially get in trouble with the bosses by saying that. And he's just laughing his arse off. Oh, good, DA. You'll be into another meeting as soon as this show wraps up. DA, why would you say that it's legal to bring a flask into school?
I thought it was something new.
Why would you say that?
The body.
Yeah. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Interesting trade yesterday in Major League Baseball as slugger Jay Bruce is traded from the Mets to the Cleveland Indians. Now, what changes hands here? Well, only a minor league pitcher. The Mets get only a minor leaguer who is a 30th round pick by Cleveland in the 2016 draft. And, you know, he's a mid-level guy. He's got a 4.79 ERA in single A. So, didn't get much, okay? But also, looks like the Mets get to give away a good chunk of money as they are skidding towards the finish line here with a month and a half to play as the Indians pick up more than $4 million of his salary. So, the Mets save a little bit of money, get a throwaway minor leaguer, which is kind of shocking because Jay Bruce, while he has been in a slump recently, is hitting 260 with 29 home runs and 75 RBIs. That's a pretty good season. The guy with a good final 6 weeks is going to hit 30 and 90. I mean, you'd think that a bat would go for more than a nondescript single A half starter, half reliever in Major League Baseball, but it showed what the marketplace was this year at MLB. Arms, arms, and more arms. Those were the valued commodities. Teams are looking for pitchers and specifically relievers. Relievers had value. Hitters did not. Jay Bruce is a perennial three, hitting 280, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs guy. And he goes to a team that's absolutely in the hunt for a throwaway minor leaguer and pass through waivers. The Indians are one of the best teams of the American League, and this made them better. And they got him on the cheap. I mean, dirt cheap. When we come back, comedian Steve Hofstetter in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.